It's from April the 12th, it's a Monday, the next day after Easter, to May 2nd. Praise God. What a wonderful job I should spend 21 days asking a prayer. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Why did you want to do anything at home? Hallelujah. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Husbands, you don't have to do the dishes. Hallelujah. Let's open our Bibles tonight. I'm just going to whisper a few things, that's all. But tonight, for the Holy Ghost would take that into your heart.
Amen.
I was saying to the Lord, you know, I was going through such a struggle, Maharaj, and oh my God, would I make it through another day? Can you imagine that? And that time I had the greatest of fear. I said, my God, if I am going through such a struggle, what will be the kind of struggle that the congregation will be going through? And I said, Holy Ghost, help us. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And that is the time I gave the Holy Spirit today, when I was praying, was putting this word again and again into my heart, saying, keep going, son. Amen. Catch a fresh revelation of the heavenly city. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I mean, it's amazing, isn't it? See, God spoke to Abraham when he was 75 years old. God called and spoke to Moses when he was 80 years old. Sometimes we think we have missed out if we have grown old. Young people never love an elders who come, because even if they are 75 or 80, still God has got a purpose over their life. Amen. It's true in the Bible, God called the young Samuel, God called the young David, and all that. So we think we being young, we are the only guys who get called in the Lord's work. But let me tell you, the Lord, the God whom we serve, not only calls young people, He is calling even the elders. He is calling people over 75, over 80. God is calling you to step out and walk forth for His glory. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Can you imagine Moses being called 80 years old? Abraham being called 75 years old? I mean, he started his faith walk at the age of 75. Which means it is never too late to start a faith walk.
Yeah.
Come on. You might have never walked in faith all through your life, but let me tell you, it's never too late to start a faith walk. Abraham started walking by faith at the age of 75. God spoke to him, and God said, Abraham, I'm calling you out of the land that you're dwelling in, and I'm calling you to a city which I am building for you. Keep your eyes upon me and walk. At the age of 75, I wonder what kind of courage you would have had to go and tell Sarah, listen, we're going. What about I? 75 years old, Abraham. You're kind of well settled here. What do you mean you're going to step on in faith and go on? I'm going to go on because the Lord has called me. Where are you going, Abraham? Do you have a plan? Do you have a map? I don't have a map. I don't have a plan. See, Bible says very clearly in Hebrews, Abraham did not know where he was going. All that he knew was he was called. Hallelujah. Some of you do not know where you are going, but you know for sure one thing tonight when you're sitting here, that you are called by the Lord. Abraham stepped out and he started walking for the Lord. Why? Because he kept going through every trial in his life, because he kept his eyes on the city whose architect was the Lord God Himself. Amen. Now when you look at the scriptures, see, there were three cities which was in Abraham's life, where Abraham was involved in. Three cities. And I believe that this happens for everyone who is born again. Everyone who is put in their faith in Jesus Christ, let me tell you, there are three cities that would be involved in your life at the present now, which Abraham also went through. But for an unbeliever, there is only one city. We'll come to that later. For everyone who is born again, there are Come on, church, are you here tonight?
Amen.
Amen. There are three cities. Abraham had those three cities, which he got involved in his life. The first one was the city behind him. The Ur of the Chaldees. Genesis chapter 11 declares to us, God called him out of the city called the Ur of the Chaldees. Amen? That's the city behind him. Are you with me? Amen? Then there was a city beside him called Sodom. There was a city behind him which was called Ur of the Chaldees. There was a city beside him which was called Sodom. And then the city that was in front of him and that was beyond him, that's the heavenly city. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. The first city was the city of the Ur of the Chaldees, which means Chaldees that were actually in his confusion. The place of confusion. The city behind him, the city from which he was called out. We all have been called out something, aren't we? That's how we came to Jesus. Amen? But the city of the Chaldees is actually speaking about the pull of the past. Why you need to keep going and why you need to have the heavenly city as your vision is because there's a city from which God called you out, which is the city of the Ur of the Chaldees, the bondage in from which God called you out. That's called the pull of the past. That happens for every believer. So don't come in strange when you go through that. But let me tell you, you don't have to give it to it. What you need to do is keep going by looking to the heavenly city by faith. Come on. Come on. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
See, I like this word. When Stephen was preaching in the Acts of the Apostles, the second chapter, he's starting with a glorious truth and he's saying, see how the God of glory appeared to our father, Abraham, in Mesopotamia. And then he goes on to say, in the Ur of the Chaldees, how the God of glory appeared to him and called him up. Remember that? Amen? Now, listen, this is a weird thing. At those times, the city of Ur, well, a small little city, you know, was something really poor, nothing much to hold on to. But here is what the archaeologists actually have to say about the city where they found that city. It's one of the oldest cities. And they found out that this city at the time of Abraham had about 300,000 people staying there. In Ur, 300,000 people. They were so well educated in the sense they knew they knew the meaning of the square root and cube root and all that at that time. I don't know even at this time. At that time in Mesopotamia they knew that. So there were not a couple of 300,000 dumb people. This city had tunnels through which water would reach every house in that city. They had such well-built city. There was a lush country around. Washed buildings.
and certain houses having 14 to 15 rooms with water coming into every room. Come on, church. Are you sitting here? What I'm trying to tell you is this. See, Abraham was a rich, mighty rich man right there. He was a secure man right there. He had come first that you couldn't think of. He had the respect of the people there. He had a position, a place of honor there. He had all that around him. But he met the God of glory and he decided, hallelujah, that I am going to obey the Lord. I am going to leave all these comforts. I am going to step out and walk for the glory of God. Amen. Some of you say, okay, that's quite easy. That's okay. I don't mind putting up with no comforts and all that. But let me tell you, it was also one of the most sensual cities where you had every kind of sin available and entertainment available. So if you are not a real spiritual person, you could be sucked into everything that was around. But my Bible says that Abraham stepped up by faith. Hallelujah. Tonight by faith, are you willing to let go of the pull of the past and say, Lord, I'm going to keep going. There are things that are pulling me to the past life. There are things that are pulling me from what I came out of. But I am going to step out. I'm still going to look to you and know that you have called me to a heavenly city. I'm going to keep going, Lord.
Amen.
Come on, church.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
The Lord said to Abraham, take your eyes off. Look up. Look to me and see the heavenly city. Don't be so preoccupied with every kind of pleasure around and comfort and security around that you take your eyes on me. Look up. Imagine that. Oh, hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. See, God called Abraham. Amen. To come out. Amen. He came out. But he took with him Terah, his father, Lot, his neighbor, and his wife Sarah. And they are the ones who got him in trouble all the time. Amen. After walking for a certain amount of time, Terah said, listen, I'm too old. I cannot go more. Let's stay here. See, there will be people in your life when God has called you that will keep you from keeping on going for the Lord. Hear that? Anybody with honest hearts can look at your own life and say, oh, I've stepped out for the Lord, nothing has happened, no problems around. Smooth sailing, let me say, you are not following the God of the ground. Because if you are, there will be a pull. There will be a pull. That will be people to stop you and be there and say, no, don't. Are you still listening tonight?
Amen.
See, Abraham was the richest man who came out from there. But he lived in tents. You know why? Because the 13th verse is, he was 11:13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them. Amen? Embrace them and confess that there is strangers and pilgrims. Pilgrims? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory unto God. Now there's a difference between a pilgrim, a stranger. You know the word fugitive? Somebody who's running away from home is a fugitive. Then there's a word called vagabond. which means that who's got no hope? Stranger is away from who?
He is one who.
And a pilgrim is the one who is getting hope. Give me all these. The word fugitive means running away from hope. Vagabond means no hope. Stranger is away from hope, but he's got a hope. And a pilgrim, the one who is getting hope. Abraham is called, together with Isaac and Jacob, as pilgrims and strangers. In other words, they were very sure that they had a hope, and they were heading towards it. Yeah. The problem with today's church is the fact they think this is hope, this is not hope. You are a pilgrim. You are a stranger. Come on. You are a pilgrim. You are a stranger. There is a hope for us. Fashioned and maker is Jesus Christ himself. He is the architect. As long as you want to keep on going in your calling and the anointing, let me tell you, you have to make sure that you settle for nothing less than the heavenly city. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's what I like about Lester Sumro. You're at the age of 92. He traveled around to 30 countries preaching the gospel. Oh my, you would love to sit at home maybe writing a book or giving a program on a TV. But he knew at the age of 70 he had a church of over 4,000 members which he just handed over to someone and said, you pastor from now on, I'm going on. What a pilgrim spirit. Hallelujah. What a pilgrim spirit. The problem with some of us tonight is the fact that we're looking for ways to settle down, to become followed. But that's the time when God begins to shake you. And he begins to shake you and say, listen, take your eyes off everything and look to me. You hear that? You hear that tonight?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. By faith, keep on going by looking to the heavenly city. What's happening to you is you are in trouble by the pull of your past. You've been troubled by the pull of your past. And that is why you think you've been shaken. But let me tell you, that's not what is important. What is important is right now that you take your eyes off all of Galilee and look to the heavenly city. You hear that? Therefore, do not fear. The second city. What's the city beside it called Sodom? City called? See, just before I get into Salom, in the message, not in the life. Hallelujah. Let me tell you. See, what is the difference between the children and his wife and you and me? I'll tell you what the difference is. The children of Israel, when God called them out of Egypt, and when they were going into the promised land, every time they had a struggle, every time they had a trial, every time they had a temptation, they had one song in their mind. Let's go back to Egypt. Let's go back to Egypt. Let's go back to Egypt. Working for us. Let me say to you, we have a song. Let's go up to Zion. Let's go up to Zion. Let's go up to Zion, the city of our God. Oh, sing hallelujah.
Sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah.
Amen. You hear that song, don't you?
Amen.
Take your eyes of Egypt and say, I go to Zion. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. If you're really looking for our word, I believe this is the word.
Amen.
Amen. Let me give you a few scriptures there. 1 Peter chapter 4. See, in the New Testament, you find this very strong. You know, Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 4, say, verses 1 and 2, therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself also with the
spirit.
For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from. Why? That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of the men. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles when we walked in licentiousness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatry. In regard to these things, they think it's strange that you not run with them in the same kind of dissipation. Hear that? So Peter is exhorting the church and saying to them, listen, you are spending your time in the past. Come on. He's exhorting the church. Little boy, but they're still in the past and in the brother house. And he's saying, listen, you're spending enough time there. And forget that. And look forward. Come on, church, please. Amen. Look at someone and tell them you're spending enough time in the past. Hallelujah. Look at Paul, the third chapter, 13-20. I forget the things like that light right behind. Are you with me? There is a wood of canopies behind. I forget. Look at the gospel. Jesus said, remember the Lord's wife. She looked back. Amen. Come on. Come on.
Hallelujah.
The Gospel of Luke chapter 9, the Lord said, he who keeps his hand to the plow and looks back is not worthy of me. Look to the scriptures. You find the same principle. What I'm trying to tell you is there's a city from which God knows. But there's a pull that comes from there. But tonight you and me need to make a decision saying, no. What amount of pull comes in from the pull of the galleries? I am decided to go on forward. I am not going to quit because there is nothing for me back there. There is something for me ahead of me. I am going to keep my eyes on the city whose architect and foundation is being laid by the Lord himself. Oh, church, come on, please. Hallelujah. For the second city, please. It's Sodom. Amen. The 13th chapter, the city beside us. That's not behind us. The city beside us. That's what I'm going to have. He stepped out, but the city beside Sodom. What is the difference between Abraham and Lot? It's amazing. If you look at what's the difference between Abraham and Lot. Look at it.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. See, look at Lot. In the city beside Sodom, beside them, that is Sodom, Abraham made sure that he never went near it. He kept away. You hear that? But Lot went as near it as possible and finally got such a good. And so what happened to Lot? You will find, in other words, he traded his tent for a house in Sodom. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Glory unto the name of the Lord. I'm struggling to preach it, but I know this message which is sometimes struggling.
Amen.
So Lot lost, you know what? He lost his tent. He lost his altar. He lost his testimony. You know how he lost his testimony? Because when he got something to Sodom, and the Bible says in Genesis 13 and verse 13, the exceeding wickedness of Sodom. It's a wicked city. Exceeding wickedness. When he got sucked in there, he lost his testimony, because when the angel of God came to deliver him out, you know what happened to Lot? Lot went and said to his son-in-law, listen, we gotta go. And they thought he was joking. Lord went and said, God is going to destroy the city. His angels have come to get me and get you out of here. No, he wasn't joking. Genesis 13 says, they thought, Genesis 19 says, they thought he was joking. Amen. Which meant he had lost his testimony. He lost his wife later on. He lost his daughter. He lost his purity. He lost the trust. More than anything else, he lost our friendship with Abraham. Because he chose to know. And Abraham said, no, not me that. Some of you are wondering why you have lost certain things in your life. It could be because you have chosen so long instead of the tent. Hear that? Our church, please. See, this is amazing about Sodom, you know what? I think he was still saved, because through the truth speaking about God says he was saved. But he lost all this. In other words, the fruitfulness of his life just went up. Good? Isn't it amazing? What does Abraham stand about Sodom? You know what Abraham stand was about Sodom? One. See, we are the world, but we are not the world. You can't say, Lord, take me out of this world. Take me out of temptation. No, you're the master. But you know what happened to Abraham? The things that he did, when he knew that a city beside him was Sodom, there was that one he prayed to Sodom. You and me, we are not called out of the world. We are part of the world. But we are not of the world. Amen? You and me, for us to keep ourselves from falling in the world, we need to make sure that we pray for Sodom. Not that Sodom might be saved, that the people there might be saved. We can never save the world. But we can save people alive. You hear that? Let me tell you one more point, please. Lord, when Abraham was praying, you remember that prayer he made with the Lord? And he said, Lord, there are 50 righteous people, please, from this one. Then came down. 10 righteous people. Abraham said, Lord, there are 10 righteous people, please, from this place. So, remember that? Can you imagine that? Lot, his wife, two married daughters, two unmarried daughters. That is 4 plus 6. Two son-in-laws, that is 8. All that Lot needed to do was just take 2 more people there. That city would have been saved. You didn't get me, did you? Lot, his wife, 2 married daughters, 2 unmarried daughters, 2 son-in-laws, there are 8 of them. If Lord had witnessed his faith to 2 people in Sodom, and if 2 people had got saved, the entire city would have been saved. But Lord never did it. Abraham was continuously interceding for Sodom. My brother, my sister, you are in this world. You want your life to be counted worldwide. You didn't make sure that God saved some souls. You didn't make sure, Lord, listen, there's a city beside me. I'm not a part of it. I don't want to be sucked into it. I'm going to pitch my tent outside. But I want to reach out to those people. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, yes. Amen. Amen. Second thing that Abraham did about Sodom was this. Not only pray, but Genesis 14 says, oh, hallelujah, church. Please help me preach with you. In Genesis 14 says, when he heard his nephew Lot was captured, you know what Abraham did? He didn't say, good. After all that, that guy did that against me. It's good. If I was Abraham, maybe I would accept that. Abraham was the one who made Lot rich. And Lot got into a strife with the Lot's herdsmen, got a strife with Abraham's herdsmen, and he took away half the land that it was supposed to be Abraham's, and went away and did Abraham more harm. But when Abraham heard that Lot was captured, he didn't say, hey, okay, it's good. I mean, now that they're together, Abraham went behind. Are you with me? Abraham went behind and delivered Lot. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Church, church. Hallelujah. Isn't it amazing when Lot was delivered and brought back? The king of Salem came with some riches and said to Abraham, you can have this. Abraham said in Genesis 14, I won't even have a shoelace for you. Isn't that amazing? See, in other words, you know, the work that Abraham did to bring back Lord and to say that, you know, Lord was not in for the reward. So we don't serve others for what we can get out of them. We don't serve others to get something of that.
Hallelujah.
Because I don't want to take a shoelace. Is it amazing after the battle was over? Melchizedek, the high priest, came here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you say, I don't want anything of the world, I don't want anything from your king of Sodom, I don't have anything to do with you, I'm going to spare God, I count the fellowship with God much more value than even a shoelace that I get from you. The minute you say that, you will have intensity of fellowship with the high priest, who is Jesus Christ alone.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. The problem with some of you, you're looking to get something out of the world out. You're living in a city beside it. So don't try for anything from the world.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory unto the name of the Lord. Amen. Would you lift your hands to the Lord and just ask the Lord for forgiveness if you have ever gone back to Sodom? I haven't finished the message, please, but I just feel that in my spirit that we just need to get right with the Lord. It's among you here. You might have gone back to Sodom. You might have gone back to the of Canaan, but you have gone into Sodom. But just with hearts open to the Lord, just confess your sin, just tell Him. Just get right with Him tonight. Please. Ask the Lord. Lord, I want to keep my vision. I want to keep the vision of the heavenly city. I don't want the city that I have left. I don't want the city that is beside me. Lord, what I want is you and the fellowship with you. Help me, Holy Spirit. I remember the times that I've sinned against you. Would you say it, please? Would you say it to the Lord? Would you say it? sure some of you just get going to look God tonight. I feel when you say my spirit, I feel the heaviness. Just get right with the Lord. Just get right with the Lord. You can just say to the Lord forgiveness. You can just ask Him forgiveness. Just get right with Him tonight and right now.
Jesus going, knowing the hour of flying would come.
he knew where he was going. And he knew where he would go. Where I am going, you cannot tell me, say to the Pharisees. He knew exactly where he was going, which meant that he had his house in perspective in front of him. Where I am going. What about you? Would you have a heavenly vision, such a worry that you say, I know where I'm going. I have my mind to where I go. I have my need to where I go. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. See, today, so many people, see, you can only keep your commitment without compromise if you are heavenly minded. Come on. Some of you have lost out in your commitment and compromise because you've lost that heavenly vision. Only if you have that heavenly vision will you keep your commitment. I'll explain why. Because if somebody were to say to you that Jesus only has salvation, the rest of the people around would say, what about the Hindus? What about the Muslims? What about the rest of the people? Amen. Hallelujah. Isn't it amazing how Jesus spoke? Look at Jesus. He said, where I'm going, you cannot come. Amidst the pressure that was around him from religious leaders and Pharisees, he knew. What I'm saying is this: if you're heavenly minded, you won't compromise. I'm not saying you need to offend people. What I'm saying is you won't compromise. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. In the Gospel of John, chapter 4, a woman comes to Jesus. It's a mad woman. She says, you Jews worship in Jerusalem. We worship on this mountain. The Lord says, yeah, yeah, all worship is going to the same Father. This is okay. You see her. You there. The Lord is very clear. And salvation comes from the Jews. Don't worry. The ayati that you are, I am all the clear. I'm not going to go ayati, you don't have to go ayati. No, no, no. Very clear. Are you with me? Only if you are heavenly minded will you not compromise on truth. That's what I'd like to say. Church. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The second scripture, John 12 and 24.
Everything is dark.
It's lonely. There's nothing there. But life will come. You will bloom. Hear that? In other words, sacrifices take place in your life when you're really heavenly minded. Otherwise, why would you want to sacrifice something if you don't have an eternal reward? Hear that? Tonight, we have lost out of that heart, no? For sacrifice. You want things so easy for us. Who's scared of what scares? It's because, you know, you're heavenly minded. Jesus being heavenly minded, he knew exactly sure. Sacrifice my life. And I know I'm righteous on the third day. I will ascend back to the Father, go back there, and sit at the right hand side of the Father. Jesus knew that very clearly. Why? Because he knew where he was going. Abraham kept going because he had the heavenly vision. He would only be able to sacrifice and make a stand, you know when? When you have the heavenly vision. Otherwise, you will say, listen, what can I get out of a meeting? I look at a congregation that comes. Each week they come to be fed. Each week they come to be blessed. But I seldom do they find, seldom do I find somebody coming and say, listen, Pastor, can I do something for the Lord? I'm willing to spend time, I'm willing to spend energy, I'm willing to spend all that I have just so that I can serve the Lord. That I can serve Him. I can do something. I'm willing to sacrifice. 90% of the congregation have without. They just come to get blessed. And the minute the pastor is gone to the fire and praying through them for them, they go, oh, no, no, no. But I want you to genuinely come and say, listen, I'm willing to take the cost. I'm willing to sacrifice. I'm willing to surrender. Some of us don't even keep our places, somebody gets us in. Do you know why? Again, please, this is a message with much love and rebuke. It's because we have lost the heavenly mindedness. Sacrifice comes. You will be let go of things. Let go of things in your life when you're heavenly minded. Abraham could let go of Isaac and Ishmael and Hagar, all that. You know why? Because he knew. You will never be able to sacrifice in a relationship in your life until and unless you get a heavenly vision in your heart. Please tell me whoever you want to understand what I'm saying.
Amen. Amen.
Have you seen relationship in your life? Are you willing to sacrifice? Able to do that if you have an ambition. Isn't that amazing? Somebody said the other day, there are 6 billion people on this earth. And psychiatrists say the greatest problem is that people say they are lonely. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. And where I am, there you may be also. Hallelujah. Amen. Is it amazing? Just look at the scriptures. I was saying, my God. For a couple of weeks now, I was getting up every morning very troubled. My mind was very troubled. I can understand. And God said, son, only if you know what the mansion that I built for you will you have, will you be kept from your heart being troubled? Isn't it amazing if you're honest with yourself sitting here? How many of you have trouble in your mind, in your heart? How many of you have that assurance, lead with that trust? You know why you don't have it? Because you've lost the heavenly mindedness. When you're heavenly minded, your heart is peaceful. Otherwise you will fight. Otherwise you will fight with your husband. You will fight with your children. You will fight with your wife. You will fight with people around you. The Lord was a person who was striving with people. Fight with people to have his own way. And that's why he scanned the word strife. Are you with me? Troubles and struggles that took place in his life. It was peaceful. Why? Because he saw the end of this city. And Jesus said, let not your hearts be troubled. Let us ask you simple words. Are you troubled tonight? Are you restless? Do you have real peace inside? Just troubled, aren't you? Just panicking about your future, about everything that happens around you. You know what? You lost the heavenly vision. When you know the heavenly vision. One scripture and I close, you know it. Jeremiah, one of the greatest and beautiful of prophets. When he saw the people of Israel being carried captive into Babylon, in exile, he's writing a letter. And when he's writing that letter in the 29th chapter of Jeremiah, he says, hallelujah. One of the things he says to do. He says, you are an exile in a different place, but obey the king. Get married, have children, have vineyards, do things well. Never abuse anyone. If you look at the chapter, it's amazing. Can you imagine that? You are not in your homeland. You are not in Jerusalem, you are in Babylon, but still do all these things. And no. The Lord says, I have a plan for you. For a future with prosperity, blessing, and hope. And others are coming back. Therefore, keep your eyes on Zion. Amen. Hallelujah. This is the word. If you need to keep going, say, Holy Spirit. Help me to have a heavenly vision. Take my eyes on my little problem. My little struggles from getting pulled back into the pool of calories. Also, I have been looked to the heavenly city. Would you close your eyes? And would you either stand up or kneel down? And if you want to get right to the Father, just do it now, please. The grace of God is flowing in this place. Pray, ask him.